Unit 13.
Short conversations. In this section, you will hear 20 short conversations. At the end of each conversation, a question will be asked about what was said. Each conversation and question will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the four suggested answers marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer.
1. I don't think I can handle all of these books for this course.
I found that you don't have to read them thoroughly. Just skim through and get the major points.
How does the woman feel about her books?
2. Margaret, could you please pass the rolls and butter?
Surely. Let me put down this platter first.
What are the man and woman doing? 3. I paid $15 for these books. I think they're too expensive.
Expensive? They're a steal. You shouldn't complain. There are a lot more in other bookstores.
How did the woman feel about the books? 4. I can't seem to tune into the station I want. Funny, I found it last week.
Maybe you should put the antenna up. I hope you find it soon. The program is about to begin.
What are the man and woman doing?
5. Did you close the window? I feel a draft.
It must be your head cold. It's toasty warm in here.
What's wrong with the woman?
6. Whatever happened to Sally and Bob?
Oh, they separated 2 months ago.
What happened to the couple?
7. The frost damaged the flowers terribly.
It's that time of year again.
What happened to the flowers? 8. These shoes are a little snug.
They always are at first. Wear them a while, and the leather will stretch a bit.
What does the woman think about the shoes?
9. Hello, Susan. I was in the neighborhood, so I thought I'd drop by.
What a pleasant surprise. Make yourself at home. I'll put the coffee on.
What is the man doing?
10. You sound terrible, Joey. You'd better go home, gargle, and get some rest.
Thanks. I know I have to take your advice.
What is probably wrong with Joey?
11. What did you think of Professor Johnson's test?
Well, essay tests usually are not my cup of tea, but this one was reasonable.
How did the woman feel about the test?
12. Dad is angry because we're on the phone too much.
Why don't we chip in and get our own private line?
What does the brother want to do?
13. What are you writing?
These are my June commencement announcements.
What is going to happen to the young lady? 14. What did you think of that last house?
I thought it was too shoddy. Repairs would cost a small fortune.
What did the woman think of the house? 15. Are you busy Friday night? If not, would you like to go to the concert?
I have a few commitments, but I think I can postpone them for another time.
What will the woman probably do?
16. I certainly would like to buy the brown suit I saw in the department store, but I don't have enough money.
Well, if you would budget your money more carefully, you would be able to buy it.
How does the man feel about the woman?
17. Your Honor, I would like to bring to the jury's attention some points that I feel are relevant to the case at this time.
Counselor, you may address the jury this afternoon. The court will now recess for 1 hour for lunch.
Where is this conversation taking place?
18. Are you hurt, Bob? You've lost both skis.
My leg, it hurts so. I can't move, Jane. Please do something.
What does Bob need?
19. Is it still raining outside?
No, but the wind is still blowing a bit.
What can be concluded from this conversation?
20. Did you throw away the extra paper?
No. I gave half of it to a friend and kept the rest.
What was done with the extra paper?
Passage. George had stolen some money, but the police had caught him, and he had been put in prison. Now his trial was about to begin, and he felt sure that he would be found guilty and sent to prison for a long time. Then he discovered that an old friend of his was one of the members of the jury at his trial. Of course, he did not tell anybody, but he managed to see his friend secretly one day. He said to him, "Jim, I know that the jury will find me guilty of having stolen the money. I cannot hope to be found not guilty of taking it. That would be too much to expect. But I should be grateful to you for the rest of my life if you could persuade the other members of the jury to add a strong recommendation for mercy to their statement that they consider me guilty." "Well, George," answered Jim, "I shall certainly try to do what I can for you as an old friend, but of course I cannot promise anything. The other 11 people on the jury look terribly strong-minded to me." George said that he would quite understand if Jim was not able to do anything for him, and thanked him warmly for agreeing to help. The trial went on, and at last the time came for the jury to decide whether George was guilty or not. It took them 5 hours, but in the end, they found George guilty with a strong recommendation for mercy. Of course, George was very pleased, but he did not have a chance to see Jim for some time after the trial. At last, however, Jim visited him in prison, and George thanked him warmly and asked him how he had managed to persuade the other members of the jury to recommend mercy. "Well, George," Jim answered, "as I thought, those 11 men were very difficult to persuade, but I managed in the end by tiring them out. Do you know, those fools had all wanted to find you not guilty?" Questions. 1. What are we told that George expects Jim to do? 2. Which of the following is true about Jim? 3. What does the passage suggest? 4. What is the best title for this passage? 5. What does the passage imply?
Story. Len and Jim worked for the same company. One day, Len lent Jim $20, But then Jim left his job and went to work in another town without paying Len back his $20. Len did not see Jim for a year, and then he heard from another friend that Jim was in the town and staying at the Central Hotel. So he went to see him there late in the evening. He found out the number of Jim's room from the clerk at the desk downstairs and went up to find him. When he got to the room, he saw Jim's shoes outside the door waiting to be cleaned. Well, he must be in, he thought, and knocked at the door. There was no answer. He knocked again. Then he said, "I know you're in, Jim. Your shoes are out here." "I went out in my slippers," answered a voice from inside the room.